Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hooray!
Monday.
I suppose, guys, we ought to start with an apology, really. It's probably the polite thing to do, isn't it?
What for?
Well, but there's been quite a few people suggesting that we should have gone daily because of lockdowns being back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it didn't even cross my mind. I just thought, no one's going to do that this time, are they?
Really? I think the last thing people need with the awfulness in the news is us every day. I'm happy to lead the charge on this apology, but I just don't have the time because of fucking homeschooling, basically. It's an absolute nightmare. So, I mean, there's nothing funny or interesting about this. I just don't have the time. Soz, that's not great, is it? It's not a great listen.
I mean, it's quite funny for us that you're stuck in the hell of homeschooling.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely it is. And we'll come back to that because I've got a little thing planned.
Oh.
For the show or just in life?
In life, I'm going to kill my family. No, for the show.
Oh, my God. There's something planned.
Yeah, I just thought I ought to, you know. See, I thought I'd try out to see what would happen if we planned something for Cabin Fever. I just thought,
I'm scared.
Should be. So that's it. We can't go daily. Is that fair to say, Dave?
I mean, I have no concept of what homeschooling involves, but would you like to give us a little flavour, or is that going to be later on when you tell us the plan?
The plan thing will explain that, but in terms of what it's like. So basically what we're doing in the mornings... So Elaine Page does she does the morning slot with the kids, and then I do the afternoons, and I have to do this Google Classroom thing. And this is, if you imagine Facebook, but instead of updates of people's lockdown puppies, it's just endless quiz sheets, basically, and huge amounts of content, which we have to get done. So this is the thing. First time round when lockdown happened, there was this sense from our school, and I think a lot of schools, of, oh, you know, here's some things. Here's like a nice Sudoku kind of thing. Whereas now we're getting every day with these need to be in. And as I discovered last week, if they're not, messages start to come. Phone calls start to appear. My wife got phoned by a teacher to ask where our writing project was.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
It is. I mean, this kid's 8 years old, for goodness sake. He's too busy writing riddles.
You're getting chased for your homework.
I know. It's the first time I've been chased for my homework since 1995. It's outrageous. And then you get into this place where when they're up and running. So I've got Riddle Me Wilfred on the iPad, and then I've got what's my Edmund name for this show, Dave?
I don't know. Didn't he have some sort of interest in some sort of manatees or no? What was it?
Wasn't manatees.
An interest in some sort of sea salamanders creature at some point. It wasn't. I wish it was salamanders. Wait, I can find this out.
How can you find it out? Have you got a list of topics we've covered on this show?
No, because I remember at one
lizard,
point, in,
maybe
like
he likes lizards.
Terrapins.
Terrapin. That's it. Yes.
Terrapins. And do you know how I found that out? Because I searched the word Chester in our WhatsApp with producer Steve. Because at one point we tried to get a terrapin expert from Chester Zoo, and they said, sorry, no, we're too busy because there's an emergency pandemic.
What a strange route. How is Dave going to find out Tom's once used nickname for his youngest child? He's going to search for the word Chester on WhatsApp. Oh, God, I love it when there's a synaptic tour of our brains.
You're welcome.
So Salamand Edmund, he's got Google Classroom on Beth's old laptop, and they sit there with their devices, and I sit in between them, and essentially it is spinning plates, because you're kind of like, okay, Wilfred, you're happy? You got your maths? Good. Okay, Edmund. No, Edmund, wait, stop. I'll press play for that now. Yeah, okay. What's that, Wilfred? You need to go back. No, because you've clicked on the wrong thing now. Okay, hang on. Wait there one second. Edmund, what are you doing? What? No, you got it. It's that... for like 3 hours. It's horrendous. Yeah.
How do teachers cope, though? Because they have that with like 30 kids, right?
Yeah, I think it's different with teachers because kids sort of understand. Is that the right word?
Respect them?
Yeah, respect them as... Yeah. Well, yeah, they can't question the format. Like, Riddle Me Wilfred just spends his whole time saying, well, how long are we doing this for? At what time will this finish? And at what time will I be able to go outside and play football in the street and break the neighbour's wall, which happened this week? He was smashing things up in the house. So I said, kick a ball around outside. And he kicked a ball against the neighbour's wall and dislodged about 9 bricks.
Do they know? Yeah. Have you told them?
No, and I'm hoping they don't listen to the podcast. So
that's a powerful foot, though.
Yeah, he's got a good right boot, mate.
Destroying walls? That's like Thor level of sort of footballing.
Oh, yeah, the football's made of concrete. Yeah.
But also, are they on mute with the teachers? Like, are the kids on... Can the teachers put the kids on mute?
This is the thing, Helen. The teachers aren't there. They've just... Sorry, I've probably not portrayed this properly. Oh. Starting today, in fact, we're going to actually be able to do video calls with the teachers. We're doing a couple this week. Unless you go to private school, unless you are lucky, got to be careful here. Unless you are choosing to send your kid to private school, all the private schools, and there's a couple of people I know whose kids are at private school, they've basically been on a Zoom call since March, right? They just essentially, they go into like a learning call center and they put headsets on and they have direct interactions with their teachers. And they are now, it's terrifying, genuinely, they are streets ahead.
Oh, it's so depressing. It's so depressing.
Yeah. So because we choose not to, because a quick cursory tour of my bank balance reveals we will not be sending any of my kids to private school. So there is no teacher is the short answer. So he just has to do the quiz. And of course he's got loads of questions like, Daddy, how do I do this? What does this mean? I don't understand. And that makes him really frustrated. And then obviously I'm completely impatient. And I watched Beth/Elaine Page teaching them the other morning. She's so patient.
She is better than you though.
Yes.
As a person.
Well, yes. Well, yes.
That is tricky, isn't it?
So patient. I mean, I don't know. I'm not very good when people are asking me loads of questions. I get very ratty very quickly.
Mm, particularly when they seem really obvious, like the answers, when people are children.
That's
the thing. Are the answers obvious, or is the frustration more for the fact that they're asking you sort of primary school level maths questions and you're like, I don't actually know the answer to that.
Dave, are you doing a little trailer there for part 2 of Cabin Fever? I think you might.
Oh, really? Is that what's happening?
No.
I have logged into Google Classroom on this computer and I am ready to take you through a little tour of some of his questions. But we'll do that in a bit.
That is good.
This is going to be completely humiliating. Can I have a calculator up in front of me?
This is the thing. you absolutely can't. No, and
it's not humiliating. Helen, it's just about, you know, where you are in life and the sort of things you're learning. It's absolutely fine. Don't worry. It's just because you haven't learned primary school maths for a long time, so there's no, and you probably haven't used it in your daily life. So don't worry.
That's
very kind.
And it is interesting how you sort of balance out the what is the thing that makes me most impatient, and it's definitely when they're asking questions or when they're just being willfully stupid, which sounds a bit harsh, but sometimes like my youngest will pretend he can't find a letter when he's trying to write good morning. They all have to check in and write good morning to the teacher at 8:45. And if they don't, we get a phone call. And if my youngest pretends he can't find the letters, where's the daddy, where's the g? And I'm like, you know where it is. You're just trying to get attention. So that's annoying. But the thing that really is annoying is when I realise that I don't know the answer either. That's where it gets like, oh, yeah. God. And we actually genuinely, on several occasions, have asked Alexa to solve our maths problems.
Have you actually?
Yeah.
Did she do it?
Of course, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, she's great, isn't she? What a gal.
She's a better father than me. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that sounds truly horrifying, and I'm glad I don't have children.
I know. But, you know, they are still, you know, they're really nice. Actually, no, they're fine. They're fine. Anyway, enough about me. Dave Cribb, please, how are you? Thank you.
Very well, thank you. Yes, I'm very exhausted, actually. Can you tell that I'm tired? I don't know why I'm so tired. I'm doing very little at the moment.
Is it because you're walking 5,000 miles every day, or running, or cycling?
cycling and walking. Yeah, I have been on my bike every day this week, which since New Year, which I'm quite thrilled with.
This Conqueror thing is absolutely brilliant, because I feel the pressure today to go for a run in order to keep my Conqueror numbers up. This is genius, Dave.
I know, it really works,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yes.
Oh, I'm full of so much regret. Yesterday, I went on a 2.5 hour walk to try and catch up with everybody, and I'm still about 14 miles behind the last person.
Well, actually, shall we do updates then? Shall we?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thrilled. I love the idea that Helen Monks is yoguring her way from Land's End to John O'Groats. Genuinely, I think there's something in that.
Can you explain what happened?
I asked Dave on our sort of WhatsApp chat if yoga, because I do a lot of yoga and I feel like it should count towards my travels, because I do get on a bit of a sweat. I do some lunging, but you said a firm no, really, didn't you?
Well, I just feel, I don't know. I mean... The thing is, I've not actually... Did you look at the conversion table? There is a conversion table. The people that run the thing have sort of done a conversion table for basically exercise that doesn't involve moving, and sort of gone, that is the equivalent to like 700 metres. So you could do it like that if you want.
Jesus, can we just have a look at our group, right? So Dave, you're streets ahead of all of us because you're on a bike, which is absolutely fine, as we'd established last week when I started to complain about it. That's fine. But still, you're not as far as Lizzie, who runs...
No, she's on a bike as well.
Oh, she's on a bike. Okay, fine. Oh, thank God. I thought she was just
She runs and bikes.
Oh, thank goodness for that. And
sort of, but she does a lot of running. You can go, if you click on someone's name, you can go in and see what they've done. So she is.
Ah, right.
She's done a total distance of 160 kilometres.
It's so far this year. That is 10. We are 10 days in.
That's just so gross. Also, I've been telling my friends that she's a professional athlete. Have I got that wrong? Is that not her job?
No, she does podcasts, mate.
Oh, my gosh. I thought that she did it for her job. And that's why she... No. Oh no!
I mean, she literally works at the company who publishes this podcast.
Yeah, she works at Acast.
She's cycled 67 kilometres of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Still impressive. I mean, that's still not
and run 34. Yeah. I mean, I've run 0 kilometres.
So I can I look and see what my splits are in that case? I'm going to have a little.
Yeah, bit. Of course.
Can nobody look at me? Can we just not?
There's no shame in this, Helen.
There's nothing but shame. The whole point is to compare and to judge. And
I just like the way that Helen Monks has downward dogged her way through Cornwall. Well
done. Oh.
So you're looking at your splits now, TP.
Oh, mine are just steps because all of my runs are coming in through my Apple activity thing as steps. So it just says steps.
Oh, so it doesn't say this. Well, that makes sense, I guess, because it's distance, isn't it? Yeah. You'd be annoyed if that was a sort of like calories thing or something. But
exactly. So I have done 75 kilometres in the last 10 days.
Run and or walked.
And or walked, yes.
Sort of around.
Dog walks, walking up and down the stairs. With my watch on the other day, got a notification telling me I needed to stand up. And as I stood up in order to, you know, the Apple Watch does that thing. Hey, you need to stand up, mate. I was in the middle of watching Ozark, which is
amazing.
Fucking amazing.
So good.
That's how good it is. That's how long the word fucking needs to last for a description. It is fucking amazing. So I did the Apple Watch thing. All right, stand up. Yes, mate. Of course I will. And as I was standing up, I was like, ooh. Walk over to the fridge and ate some fucking chocolate, which I genuinely wouldn't have done if the Apple Watch hadn't told me to stand up.
That's great. Bringing joy.
What a dickhead. So anyway, I've done 75. Where are you at, Cribbles?
So what, geographically?
Yes, please.
So I've just passed the Eden Project, mate.
How was it?
I got my postcard from the Eden Project. Interesting. Yeah, it's quite good. I'm enjoying the postcards now. Mm-hmm. I started sending them to my parents, as I promised last week, and they're very, very, very much enjoying them.
Okay.
Plotting my journey through Cornwall and into Devon soon. I've just passed a place called Craft Hole.
Excuse me?
Which, again, must be like Mouse Hole. It can't be called Craft Hole. Craftle.
It's probably called Crozzle or something. Yeah.
Crubble. Blah.
It's pronounced Bozo or something. Yeah, fine.
And I'm just coming up on HMS Rally.
Oh, great. What's that, a boat?
Well, it must be, I guess. Let's have a look, shall we? Does it tell you? No, I can't click
I think
it.
Someone tweeted us who lives near or goes to a spot in Cornwall, which we were talking about on the last show. So it's nice, this, isn't it? Because people are, you know...
We've had quite a lot of messages from people sort of saying, oh, it's nice to hear you talking about my part of the world. And that will basically, theoretically, become fact for most people because we are literally going through the entire country.
Yeah.
I'm going to look if we go through Birmingham.
Basically, sorry if you live in East Anglia, because, like, obviously we're not going to get that far across.
Yeah, we're swerving.
We sort of go up, don't know if we go up to Birmingham, do we, Martin?
We kind of go round, like, Stratford-upon-Avon way.
Oh, yeah, Coventry.
Coventry, yeah, that'll do.
Oh, that'll do. We can have a chat about Coventry when we get there.
Nice to live in Coventry. Jeanette says, bit late, I know, there is a causeway from Marisian near Penzance to St. Michael's Mount.
Yes.
You can walk it during low tide. Love this episode, as I have been to all the Cornish places you mentioned, including the Merry Maidens. Good luck with the challenge. Thank you, Jeanette.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the thing, because I was talking about how we'd run across the sea, basically. But yeah, there's a little low tide vibes going on, which is quite exciting, actually. Yeah. I mean, I know we didn't actually do it. Haven't really left my local area as mandated by the government. But yeah. But it's quite interesting to sort of figure out where we are. So yes, I'm 140 kilometres down the road. Is my total.
It's nice,
really
very good.
Impressive, yeah. That's...
And then Helen, you are.
Well, so I've done 33 kilometres.
Oh, good.
And I'm in Gold Sydney.
Gold Sydney.
God, I think you've gone the wrong way, mate.
Gold Sydney. I've just passed Penzance anyway. Great. So that's all good.
Oh, yeah,
good.
Gold Sydney, yeah.
I'm firmly at the back of the group. Just in front of me is Rachel, but she did start about 2 days ago, didn't she, Rachel? So...
Yes. Yeah, we've had a few people sort of join the challenge later.
We've had some latecomers. Yeah. Can we just... I know we sort of dropped this in at the end of the last episode, but I really think this could be fun. Can we go and finish this in the flesh? I would genuinely... I've been thinking about this a lot recently because I'm feeling the misery of lockdown a lot this week. For some reason, I've had a really crap week. And I feel like I just want to get out. And the idea of physically going to John O'Groats to finish.
Yeah, I've had this conversation with two different people this week, actually. So Lizzie off of our professional athlete, Lizzie.
Yeah, I promise that she'll be there next week. That's the issue.
I was chatting to her. But yeah, well, that's what I said. I said she has to really sort of break a leg or something about 2-3 months and then let us all catch up with her and then we can all finish together.
Perfect.
You know? And Claire off of Flutes, who, you know, friend of the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's also doing it. And both of, like, everybody basically has already had this conversation with their other half. You know, I think everybody's come to this conclusion themselves and is very excited about the idea.
Yay.
And I think we should
go
to John O'Groats and do the last, like, what, 20K or something? Just 10K, just something, the last sort of nominal bit together.
Yeah.
Just probably a walkable distance rather than like a runnable distance or a cyclable distance because we're all doing it differently.
And obviously we podcast it, clearly. Clearly we record it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're not idiots if we don't do that, aren't we?
Yeah, and that'll be the last ever Cabin Fever goodbye.
Or we fall off the end of the country.
Exactly. And then we'll become an Icelandic podcast when we hit land. In fact, that isn't the land we'd hit, is it?
How far have you actually gone into looking up the plausibility of this?
I've said some words out of my mouth. That is usually as far as I go with anything.
Because I started looking up how to get to John O'Groats.
Is there like a hopper bus or something?
Well, as far as I can tell, and I don't know if this is pandemic based or if this is just normal, you know, this is the permanent situation.
Yeah.
But Wick Airport, which is Wick John O'Groats Airport, which is the sort of nearest one you go and then you're fairly close to it, appears to have just stopped doing anything.
Stopped doing all the planes.
Oh, mate.
As of June the 19th, 2020, Eastern Airways removed Wick Airport from its network, leaving the airport with no scheduled services.
Wow.
So, is there a train station?
Well, there's train options. I think trains, then buses. I mean, I won't lie to you guys. I'm very, very keen, but we should know. I mean, we've all been to Edinburgh, haven't we, a number of times, and we know how long that
takes. And Edinburgh is as far north as it's possible to go in the UK, as far as I'm concerned. That is it.
Right.
Isn't it?
But if you just imagine how far it is past Edinburgh.
Sort of same again, isn't it, basically?
And the major rail networks don't operate, because the London to Edinburgh, as we do, for example, or Manchester to Edinburgh, like I used to do, is fairly well connected in the sense that they expect people to be doing that regularly. There's a major rail network, but once you get up to Edinburgh and past it, it's kind of doing the same again, but on, you know, on a bus or on a whatever. So I think we're looking at sort of min 10 hours from London.
Whoa. Do you know what? I can't be asked. Oh, well, it's a nice idea. Fuck you, John O'Groats.
That was the quickest U-turn of 2021.
Yeah.
Actually, shall I just see how long it would take in our electric cars, Tom?
Such a quick U-turn. It was nearly a yoga move. yeah, I mean, that's the thing, Dave. In terms of our electric cars, that could be quite a fun thing to do. Probably get, you know, let's get onto sort of our friends at Onto who we get our cars from. Get them involved. A little bit of a PR stunt. Give us a free car.
I think you're
going
to immediately regret driving when we get to about Manchester and you realise we're not even halfway there.
Yeah, that's probably true, actually.
Maybe we could get a hire car from Edinburgh.
Yeah. And what we're doing now, we're going into the sort of...
logistics,
it's becoming a sort of podcast Expedia, which I'm not sure is what anyone needs in their life. Take a break for ads, is it? And then back for your GCSEs?
Yeah.
I'd have thought so.
Thank you. Oh, wrong thing. Shit.
Every time.
Actually, before we do GCSEs, I've got... not one, not two, but three bits of small business.
Excellent news.
Wow.
Just tidbits, sort of like, you know, the news headlines, like, also this week, a dog landed on a scooter and, pyjamas are up a tree.
Right.
Well, actually four, because I've just looked up how even to drive from Edinburgh to John O'Groats is 6 hours. Isn't that insane?
We've become so Scotland-focused on this show. I love it.
Yeah, big fan. Happy to move there, to be honest. Yeah. Absolutely happy to move there.
I'm reading, at the moment, Motherwell by Deborah Orr. It's all about, well, Motherwell and her love. Sure. Oh, God, it's good. And it's very Scottish and it's very good. If you've not read it, have a little bung on that. It's wonderful. Anyway, thank you.
Piece of business number one. Helen, how do you feel to have moved into new technological waters this week?
Oh my gosh. So for years and years I've watched people on Instagram stories zooming into their own faces, and I've thought that they were holding it down with one hand and using two fingers with the other and just were very skilled with their sort of nimble fingers. And then Dave Cribb has taught me the secrets of Instagram, how you actually zoom.
It was such a nice thing to be able to impart a bit of wisdom. I feel kind of like as if Tom were homeschooling his sort of 8-year-old and actually finally found something that he was like, oh, I know this one.
Yes, I can impart something. I can die happy. My brain has been used. How do you?
Oh, well, that's a bit of a, should we tell you? Okay, yeah, we'll tell you.
Well, Helen, come on, let's not be mean-spirited, Helen. This is your time to generously pass on some knowledge you've learned.
Hand it on, come on.
I like to keep knowledge to myself. Okay, fine. You hold
knowledge
down.
Is power, after all.
It is. All for me. You hold down the record button and then you swipe up.
To zoom. Yeah, okay.
Did you know that? Did you?
I think I did know that, actually, yeah. But I know I've never done it, though, but I think I did know it. Do you know what I mean?
It's amazing. Yeah, yeah. Sort of it's such a game changer. I've been zooming in on everything in my house. It's been so much fun.
give Helen a follow, everyone.
I'm a little bit disappointed because I did expect sort of probably 24 hours of you just sending me messages of you zooming stuff. You know, videos of you zooming in on things just for fun, and I've not had as many as I'd have hoped.
No,
is this only on Instagram or is this on... just on the iPhone generally?
No, Instagram stories. It's an Instagram story specific trait. Fine, this.
Fine. I basically decided I was going to do an animal theme and I zoomed in on all the animals in my house. So I have like an owl made out of seashells and I have a pig with a Santa's hat on and I have my teddy bear, which is a monkey. And then once I'd done those, I ran out of animals. So I was like, I moved on to watching Paddington 2.
Oh, what a movie.
Oh, so good. I cried when I saw that in the cinema.
Perfect film.
Yeah.
Perfect
so
film, that
good.
Is.
So good. We've been watching all of Hugh Grant movies. And,
oh, it's the best.
Oh, yeah.
You know the dance sequence at the end?
Yeah.
Which is just like... I hate this phrase, but I can't think of any others. This is a hill I will die on. Hugh Grant should have been nominated for Oscars for that performance. It is off the charts how good it is. The big dance sequence at the end, that was the first thing he did of the whole movie.
No.
Yes.
No.
Days, and it took days and days and days and days to do.
That is such good. Thank you for the knowledge.
You're welcome. Well, you told me how to zoom on Insta stories, so
that's a huge one.
All right, good. AOB Dave Cribb.
Next bit.
Second bit of B. Mm-hmm. Have we been watching The Masked Singer? Now, this is a small spoiler if anyone is watching The Masked Singer and hasn't yet caught up on Saturday's edition.
Okay. Look away.
But have either of you been watching it?
No.
I haven't, but I do. I have been sort of watching it by proxy of everybody else on the internet.
Do you know the exciting news I'm going to bring you?
Yeah, but please, yeah.
I don't. Yeah. I don't. Go on. I know nothing about it.
The second singer was unmasked on Saturday, or the third singer was unmasked on Saturday night, Tom Price.
Ooh.
And it's all about clues, isn't it? It's all about clues on The Masked Singer. They show them in the VTs, they give them verbally. You have to try and guess who it is. And please do turn off for about 30 seconds if you don't want to know starting now. But I was surprised that at no point during the VTs did anyone mention the most obvious thing about this masked singer. Was the fact that she has a number of escutcheons. Because when the mask came off and Martine McCutcheon was sort of flung back into our lives in a way she hasn't been since Escutcheon Gate, then it just seemed like an absolutely missed opportunity.
They should have done, you know, through the keyhole, but there's nothing there. You can't see anything because it's covered by an escutcheon.
Yeah.
She was a great singer, isn't she, Martin McCutcheon?
Oh, absolute babe. This is my moment. Exactly.
Hang on. Can we just establish that she's a good singer, not you two?
Okay, spoilers done. Thank you. Welcome back.
Welcome back. That was it. That was the spoiler done. No, yeah, we didn't really time that properly, did we? But yeah, I hope nobody.
Sorry.
I mean, everyone's that bothered, yeah. I'm sure.
I don't think the Venn diagram of, you know, masked singer completists who still don't know by Monday and listening to this podcast is that worrying.
Yes, exactly. And now the third bit of business I just really enjoyed and is very visual, so it's mainly just for you two, but we can tweet these out with the permission of Sharon, our listener.
Okay.
Now Sharon joined us on the Cabin Fever lunch. What do we call it? Christmas lunch.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell was the thing that we were doing the lunch with?
You know,
Christmas?
The meal you have in the middle of the day, lunch with the and the thing that happens in December. Yeah, cool.
And she has a wonderful cat. But she was seemingly bored this week, so she sent me a number of things she made, which are memes, Tom, and I think you're going to like these. Because they're all memes involving you.
Involving me?
Yeah. Now, it started with this. I'm going to send it to your WhatsApp. And this is a meme you can use, Tom.
What?
Anytime you want to sort of just say, you know what? What? You know what? I was absolutely correct.
What is happening?
Would you like to...
Oh, my God.
Would you like to describe it for me?
She's put my face on it. This is amazing.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
So it's the well-known TV format, The Price is Right, and it's the presenter standing in front with their hands pointing towards The Price is Right, but she's put my face on it.
It's quite good photoshopping skills, isn't it? It does look like you.
Oh my giddy aunt. All right, good. Love this so far. I mean, this is...
I've got a few of these, if I'm honest, Tom, so strap in.
Why is
the second one?
Why? Oh my God.
Oh, I like that one. It's a good choice of picture. It's very...
Who's done this?
Good.
Caroline?
No, Sharon.
Sharon's very good at the old bits, isn't she? The old Photoshop. So this is now a bit of paper with a string on it. Price tag, isn't it?
Yeah, it says price tag. Tom Price, a tag. Some of them are... I'm really enjoying this. This is very inventive, and I'm a big fan of this.
When has she been sending you these, and why has this happened?
Wow. It looks like they are BHS.
Describe it, Helen.
Okay, so this is the mid-season up to half price sale. And there's lots of pictures of Tom Price's face next to it, and it's in a sort of shop window.
And Tom Price cut in half, crucially.
Crucially cut in half. Down the middle, because it's half price.
Half price.
Very good.
Okay, yeah. I still am so baffled by this. Okay, but fine, great.
Well, I presume what's happened is that, as in all of lockdown and sort of pandemic-y vibes, she's just got extremely bored, and your name does lend itself to a number of well-known phrases, doesn't it?
Yeah, very punnable.
I mean, these are all Edinburgh shows I haven't done yet, basically.
Yeah, well, and the posters are already made.
Yeah.
I think price tag's my favourite. Are there any more, Dave? You've done three. This is God, they keep coming.
I love this one.
This is where it starts to... Okay, cool. This is a bit more of a walk. So it's two ladies looking at a wedding dress and the dialogue on the left. Helen, do you want to take the role of the sales lady in the wedding dress shop?
Yeah, she says, are you buying it?
And the woman on the other side says, Dave...
No, it's a bit too pricey.
And the wedding dress is covered in my face.
It's good, though. It's really good.
It's outstanding. I know, obviously, I have the surname lends itself to all these puns.
It really does.
But also, having a massive face is also quite helpful.
Yeah, that's true, actually, isn't it? It really does sort of lend itself. Here's, honestly, they get better and better from it, for my money.
Oh, my gosh.
This is a picture of it's some sort of stock photos.
I think there's three stock photos, aren't there?
Yeah, it's like a family with their bags holding up things, and there's one guy just holding up some stuff, and it says in the middle, every man has a price, and they're all holding dolls of me. She's just...
Well, not all dolls, Tom. I draw attention to the bottom left, the lady in pink. What's she holding?
Oh, God, she's holding medals, but where the medals should be, she's holding them up in the air as if she's just completed a marathon. But instead of the medal, it's my face on a bit of string.
Same with the middle guy. He's holding a trophy, but instead of a trophy, it's a full body shot of Tom Price.
With sort of trophy wings, trophy handles for wings. And then this one, this is the final one I'm going to send you today, and then we can do your GCSE tests.
Yeah.
Tom's already having a difficult week.
I was enjoying this at the beginning, but yeah.
No, this is my absolute favourite one because I'm not even sure this is a phrase, but she said, I stumbled upon, somebody referenced this phrase on Reddit or something, which made me want to make this final one.
Wow.
No, I don't even know if that's an everyday phrase.
I think it must be. It must be. So it's like a how do you like them apples phrase. And the phrase is, what does that have to do with the price of corn? And they've got my torso. I mean, it is torso. Now I'm going to use it, but body parts like we're, you know, at a scene of crime, because that feels in context. In a cornfield, holding two cobs of corn with a crown made of cobs of corn on my head.
Can't argue that's the price. That is the price of corn.
I mean, so listen, I've enjoyed these. Are there more? In which case, let's hold back on them. And but also,
no, I think that's all. I think I've gone through all of the ones.
Okay, great.
Hang on, let me just double check.
Surely, Sharon, this monks lends itself. So does crib as well.
I think crib
and monks.
Really?
Yeah,
monks so I think, literally is unpunnable. How can you pun a monks?
That's a Smith song. You know I'm unpunnable. So
there you go. They were great.
I just thought I'd bring this to you.
We'll tweet those out tomorrow morning. Sharon's price memes.
Price memes.
You will start using it. I bet you'll start sending the prices right when you want to tell people. You know, I was right about that. I was correct.
1,000%. That you're going to see me using that in Twitter threads in the next 48 hours.
I would also really encourage you to use what's that got to do with the price of corn whenever that becomes applicable, because that is really funny.
It's so good.
I love it. Thank you very much indeed, Sharon. That's very kind of you. Really nice. Really nice to have a little digital shrine. That's nice. All right. So, guys, homeschooling. Okay. So, we're going to do a little bit of maths. Okay. If you can sit down, please. Helen, sit down, please. Thank you. Okay. It's learning time now. 1, 2, 3. Look at me. Thank you.
Okay. Don't stop
being dicks. I think what she does is how does she do it?
Who are you being?
The teacher does this song where she sings a thing. 1, 2, 3, look at me. And then the kids all chant back. But I can't remember what the thing is they chant back.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. 4, 5, 6, let's get learning.
Because she goes, 1, 2, 3, eyes on me. And the kids have to go, 1, 2, eyes on you.
Oh, yes, I have heard that, yeah.
Oh, that's a bit weird.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing some maths, guys. We're going to be doing multiplying using partitioning. Okay, multiplying using partitioning.
Just a quick couple of questions before we start. Mm-hmm. What's that?
Okay, cool. That's a fair question. What we do is we take the numbers and we multiply them. All right. So, for example,
yeah, but you said you used the word like partitioning.
I'm going to show you. I'm going to explain to you what that is. So 28 times 3 is the first example I've got here. Okay.
Okay.
It's a little sort of spreadsheet thing. Is the same as 20 times 3 plus 8 times 3.
84.
Hey! 1 second, I just need to get to... Where is it? Thank you.
Took you longer to get to the sound effect than it did months to get the answer.
I did use a calculator, though.
No, you didn't.
No calculators, monks.
Did you actually? Are you joking?
I did, but I won't do it again. I'm full of regret.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to impress you.
Well, you've done the opposite.
Yeah, you've depressed me. Taking your point away. So, that's your partitioning straight away.
Just getting a piece of paper.
So hang on, what is the answer that we're trying to get?
Partitioning is a way to help us doing long multiplications, right? So in my day, if you did 28 times 3, all you do is you put 28 and you put 3 beneath it, and you do 3 times 8, and you do 2 times 3, and add them together, right?
Yeah.
That makes sense, doesn't it? But now what they do is they say they partition. So you 28 times 3, you turn that into 20 times 3 plus 8 times 3.
60 and 24, It's better, actually, isn't it?
I think in many ways it's better. All right, so... and the first one to answer gets the points. Okay.
Are we looking for the total? Yeah, or what?
Yeah, and want the total answer. Yeah,
fine.
Okay. Okay. Here we go. Okay.
No calculators. They are banned.
It's off. I've closed the tab. I've got my pen and paper out. Can you hear?
There we go. Good. There's a traffic light system. These are the green ones, which are the easiest. Then there's some amber, and then there's the super stretch.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So let's do a couple from greens. First of all, 52 times.
159.
Whoa.
156.
So, Helen, you said 109. Dave said 156. The answer is very much 156. Dave, you got the right answer. Correct. Well done. Okay, I think we're going to have a sort of buzzing in system here, aren't we? So if the first one to shout maths gets to answer it. But if you shout maths and you get it wrong, you're frozen out. Okay. 23.
Okay, so you have to shout maths.
You have to shout maths. Okay. 23 times 6.
123.
Oh, you've got to shout maths, Dave. Sorry, Dave, I'm going to take away the points. Yes, Helen?
132.
I mean, Dave just.
So.
Let's partition it together.
136.
No, it's too late. No! Let's partition it together. 20 times 6.
I can't believe you're doing this in your spare time.
20 times 6 is 120, right?
Yeah.
120. 3 times 6 is what, Helen?
It's 12.
3 times 6 is what, Helen?
It's 18.
That, by the way, is how I do it with my son. When they get it wrong, you just answer the same. You ask the same question exactly the same time.
So that's 138.
Yeah, but you got it wrong because you said 132, then you said 136.
So wrong twice. Dave is still, even though I'd said 138 before I buzzed in math.
Dave is still 1-0 ahead. All right, we're going to Amber now, guys. We're going to Amber.
For God's sake.
They're the easy ones, monks.
This is what 8-year-olds are expected to be able to do this, okay?
Yeah, but they have a bit longer. They have a bit more time than this madness.
Not much. They're not asked to podcast it, to be fair.
No, that's true, yeah. Okay.
All right. 79, don't forget your partitions. It's all about your partitions, okay? Mm-hmm. 79 times 6. 79 times 6.
This is 42.
Don't forget to shout maths when you...
Maths!
Over to you, Dave Cribb.
474.
Very nice, wow. Well done. But that was good. That was impressive. But take us through your partitioning, please.
70 times 6, Tom, is 420.
Okay, yes.
Oh, because you did 7 times 6 and add a 0, I bet.
Yeah, classic, 420, yes.
Yeah.
And then
is that not the way to do it?
Well, but then what do you do with your 9 then? If you've partitioned, you've used up all of the 6 there.
Well, I just did 9 times 6, which is 54, okay. And then you add them together.
I think that's too hard. See, what I would have done there off of partitioning is gone for, hang on a second, let me just make sure I'm working this out in the right way. What you could have done is, oh no, that is right, yeah, that's right.
Your kids are doomed.
They're absolutely doomed. I know. I was going to say you could do 79 times 5 because it might be a bit easier.
And then add 79.
And then add 79. Do you see what I mean? But actually, 79 times 5 is still pretty hard.
I know what you could have done. Tricky. Oh my gosh. Okay, so.
No, Dave's right. Yeah, go on, Helen.
You Google calculator.
See, this is why this is quite useful because I'm genuinely teaching this to Riddle Me Wilfred in the near future. So I'm glad I've gone over that because that has confirmed for me that I was thinking about it in the wrong way. Okay, here we go. Dave's leading 2-0. Come on, Helen, step up. 48 times 7. 48 times 7.
4, 7, 3.
Nah.
8, 6,
7.
Nah.
Maths. Oh. Hang on, sorry, Dave, just going to have to wait for Helen to finish saying the word maths.
That's
One second, Dave, just waiting for Helen to finish saying the word maths. Yeah, Helen? I can hear you tapping the calculator.
Helen? Just 1 second. Hang on, there's only four numbers. It's like 1 second. www.calculator.google.com. Search for calculator.
It's like we go live to Helen at Bletchley.
Cranking up all the levers.
Helen, I want. Come on, let's see if you've got this.
No, I can't. I wave my white flag over to Dave.
All right, Dido. She's gone full Dido. Come on then, Dave.
I love that Dido is your go-to reference for white flag.
Mate, I play white flag on Magic every fucking weekend.
Do you? Still? Is it still on?
Oh, yeah, they start playing it, but we stick it at the end of the hour, and I often drop it. True story. All right, so it's a nice song to go into the news, apparently.
Do you know what I want to do? I want to do a jukebox Dido musical. Don't you think that would make me a millionaire?
It would make Dido a millionaire, certainly.
It would make you very bored.
Why would it, how would it make you a millionaire specifically?
If I do like a Ben Elton with We Will Rock You, where that was the music of Queen, but he wrote the book.
Yeah.
Surely? No? I'd say
of all the things that Ben Elton has done, and you've been involved in some of them, that's one of the ones that definitely hasn't made him a millionaire, based on its absolute failure and shambles. But yeah, sure, I get you.
With Dido,
a better comparison might be Mamma Mia. But
yes,
then the thing is, with Mamma Mia is great. And look, I love Queen. Queen are one of my favourite bands, but that musical just wasn't very good. Mamma Mia is great, but they do have... Dido's not notoriously upbeat and sort of fun, is she?
No, but I would do all of the songs sarcastically. So like...
I want to thank you so much. No, really, thank you.
Oh, for giving me the best day. Like... Really sarcastically, and white flags. Anyway, we're getting off in a hole.
So you want to get you want to cross Dido with Alanis Morissette? That's what you're saying. Fine. All right. Anyway, let's move on from disappointing jukebox musicals to the question of the day, which is 48 times 7. Dave Cribb.
I just have to do it again because I've completely forgotten what we're talking about. 48.
You're not writing this down. 336.
Yes. Well, Dave, you are now 3-0 ahead, which means you cannot be beaten because there's only one question left. And this is the stretch now, guys. This is the stretch. Calculate these mentally. This is what it says here. So this is very important. This is what you expected. An 8-year-old can do this, right? Okay. Calculate these mentally using partitioning. Okay, so first,
are we supposed to be writing the other ones down? Is that the problem?
No, the kids will be expected to, but you're not. No, but now this is just really to give you context. This is what the kids are expected to do mentally. All right, so 84 times 9. 84 times 9.
Hello, please.
Oh, hello. I think there was an early monks in there. Yes, please.
Yeah, go on,
I might be wrong though.
Well, go on, okay. Just take
us through. So 80 times 9.
Yes, exactly, is.
Oh, this is going to be embarrassing if I'm wrong.
Got 8 times 9.
Oh, I'm scared.
Well, look.
Okay, I think it's 720.
Correct, yes, plus.
plus 4 times 9, which is... which is... Oh my God, I can't actually...
When can I say maths?
4 times 9, you can't say maths.
No. Come on, this is the important thing. We've got to, you know...
Yeah, sorry, that was me being very impatient. Yes, you're right.
We've got to nurture the less gifted students, okay? This is... All the bright ones have to wait for the slow ones.
Do you know what? I'm not even offended. It's just true. It's the truth. So,
no, but you're doing it. You're doing it. So 80 times 9 is 720, and then we need to add that to 4 times 9,
which is 36.
Very good. Yes. There you go. So the answer
the answer is 756.
Correct.
Oh my God! Don't. I thought I'd added them incorrectly.
That was a nice pause, though, wasn't it?
Very good indeed. Very good. See,
VG monks. VG.
There you go.
But you know what? I really appreciate what really calmed me down was taking the sort of time pressure off it and just doing it in my own time without the genius of Dave Cribb bleeping in with his, you're so good at maths, Dave. Am I just really bad?
Thank you. All right. Well, listen, we've done maths partitioning. I think, can we put out there for next week's episode, disappointing jukebox musicals? Can we do that as a thing? Who would you like to hear do a jukebox musical?
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually.
Yeah. Up for that, yeah. I think that's great. Does it have to be disappointing, though? Because Dido will not be disappointing.
All right, so niche jukebox, surprising jukebox musicals. And, you know, if the more you can tell the story, the actual plot line of what the musical is via the songs, the better. All right?
Yes.
Okay, fine. AOB.
I think I've done all my B today.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have no B, yeah.
Naobi?
Nobi Wan Kenobi.
We can move on with our days. Have a fabulous week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye. All the best. Cabin FE83709. Oh, 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 Cabin FE83709. Oh, 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 Cabin FE83709. Oh, 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 that's our Twitter name. What's that got to do with the price of corn? GreatBigOwl.com. Gonna use that every day.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.